2 Samuel 22, beginning with verse number 7, the Bible says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." And if you jump down to verse number 29, 2 Samuel 22, verse 29 says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." I'd like to draw your attention to that last expression that we find in verse 29 and encourage you to notate it in your Bible, either by drawing a box, a circle, or underlining it somehow. I'd like for you to underline the expression, "The Lord will lighten my darkness." The Lord will lighten my darkness. In June of this past year, 2018, a group of soccer players in Thailand, along with their coach, entered into a cave, and they decided to go into this cave, and they decided to go hiking in between their games. And while they were in this cave, on the outside, torrential rains began to pour, and it caused a portion of the cave between where they were and where the entrance of the cave was to be filled with water, trapping 12 young soccer players and their coach over 2 miles from the entrance of this cave. For 10 days, they remained trapped in the cold, damp, and darkness of the cave. Here's a picture of the young boys in the cave. Now, of course, this is when they have been, the rescuers have found them, but you can see what it would have been like without those lights, or just the brief light or the moment of a cell phone light that they may have had in their pocket. After being rescued, they begin to share the effects of being in the cave. Many of the boys testified of having written letters to their parents telling them how they loved them, fearing that they'd never see them again. Many of them testified that they spent lots of the time that they were in the cave crying and shivering, hugging one another because of the cold. Many of them described the loss of their ability to tell day from night. Their circadian rhythms began to fail. The rhythm within our body that tells us what is day and night, because they were in so much darkness that they couldn't tell what was day and what was night. And of everything that they faced, it was the continual darkness that almost drove them into a state of madness. Extended times of darkness can have a drastic effect on our life. And when we come to 2 Samuel chapter number 22, we have David testifying. David is actually writing a song here. If you look in verse number 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 22, it says, "And David spake unto the Lord these words of this song in the day of the Lord." So when we read 2 Samuel chapter 22, we're actually reading a psalm or a song of David. David's life was filled with many victories, but David's life also had many dark times. He went through many failures and many dark seasons. And as we come here to this song that David sings in chapter 22, down in verse 29, he gives testimony. And his testimony is looking back, but it is also a testimony looking forward. And he says, "Even through the dark times of my life, I testify that the Lord is the one who lightened or brought light to my darkness." He testified, he says, "I've learned that when I experience seasons of darkness and extended periods of darkness, that the Lord will bring hope, he'll bring joy and light to my life." Now, if the Lord would bring light to David's seasons of darkness, I believe he'll bring light to mine and your seasons of darkness, don't you? And this morning, that's what I want to spend our time together looking at. I want us to look at this 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel and learn from David how that the Lord will indeed lighten our darkness. If you're taking notes this morning, and I hope that you will, I want you to notice, first of all, our distress in darkness. Our distress in darkness. Darkness causes distress. David testifies of this very thing down in verse number 7. He says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God." Darkness brings a sensation of overwhelming distress to our life. And as I begin to read through here, we learn more things about David's distress, and I want to share two of them with you. First of all, let's talk about the obstacles encountered. The obstacles encountered. Distress is brought about by obstacles that we encounter in life, and those obstacles can come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. In verse 7, David describes some of his obstacles as being distress, and then in verse 5, he goes up and he describes and says, "When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid." Verse 5, David says that ungodly men were part of the reason for his distress. They were an obstacle in his life. If you look over to verse 18, he says that he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. David describes obstacles in his life as being enemies, that it was ungodly men were his enemy. He said there were other strong enemies. Now, there's no question in David's life that he's talking about King Saul and then the armies of Saul. We go back to verse number 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 22, and he testifies of that. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." So the obstacles that David encountered were obstacles of Saul chasing after him, seeking his life, and it was literally other people seeking, trying to kill him. But you know, there are other obstacles that David encountered in his life. And when he talks to us down in verse 29 about being in darkness, I cannot help but believe that David is also in his mind going back to the time when he chose darkness by having an affair with Bathsheba. It was a dark season in his life, and of all the great things that he did, it's one of the main black spots on the testimony of his service for the Lord. His affair was a dark time. After that, I believe when his son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar, that would have no doubt been a dark time. When Absalom, his other son, goes and kills Amnon for raping Tamar, that would have been a dark time. Family disputes can bring about dark seasons in our life. Not only that, Absalom would then try to gather the people and win the hearts of the people to himself and literally drive David from his own kingdom. And then David would also see Absalom's life taken by his servant Joab. David not only knew darkness there, but David also lost a baby, the first baby that he had with Bathsheba. David, when he talks about darkness here and the obstacles that he encountered, they came in all shapes and sizes. Yes, it was Saul chasing after him, but there was all kinds of personal turmoil and darkness. There was family darkness. There was the potential of his future that was darkness in his life. Darkness can take on all kinds of forms, and it can be an obstacle in our life. We've talked about the obstacles that he encountered and how that brought distress, but let's describe the distress for a moment and talk about the overwhelming emotion that he experienced. The overwhelming emotion. It's one thing to be chased by an enemy, but it's not really the chasing of the enemy. It's not really the obstacle that is what weighs on us so heavy, but rather it's the emotion that it brings in our life. It's the anxiety. It's the lack of peace. It's the no rest that is what really plagues us and weighs on us. And David, here in verse 5, he describes his distress by saying, "When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid." Notice the terminology that David's using. He says, "The emotions that I experienced during these seasons of darkness were like waves of the ocean crashing on me." He said, "It was like floods around me that compassed me, that the waters around me, the circumstances, the darkness continued to arise around me, and I could not escape it no matter where I was or what I did." Verse 6, he says, "The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me." He says, I felt this darkness, and I felt these waves and this flood, and it brought sorrow to my heart. The emotions that we experience when we're in seasons of darkness can be overwhelming, and we cannot underestimate their effect on our life. And may I say to you this, as a Christian, there are some people who believe that if I'm just spiritual enough, that I can overcome these things and I can be above and I can live above all the effect of these emotions. May I say to you that according to what we see in David's life, that's not true. The reality is David was God's anointed. David is known in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. David is known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. But yet here we see this man who is God's chosen, who's God's anointed, describing these overwhelming emotions from the struggles and the problems that he's facing in life. Just because you're a child of God, just because you're serving God, just because you're faithful to God does not mean that you'll be exempt from feeling the effects of these obstacles in your life. So don't let the devil throw that lie into your face. So, you know, if you were just a better Christian, you wouldn't be going through this. If you were reading your Bible every day, you wouldn't be going through this. If you gave more, you wouldn't be going through this, because that's not the truth at all. The struggle and the distress that we experience in life is not a matter of whether we're spiritual or not. It's a part of life, and it's something that God uses to mold and shape us. So we see our distress in darkness, but notice secondly this morning, our decisions in darkness. Our decisions in darkness. I wish I could tell you that there's a way to avoid all the distress in life, but there's really not. You read through Scripture from the front cover to the last amen, and you will see God's people are always encountered with distress. But what you'll also see is that when those people were faced in times of distress, they responded very differently. You see, you and I can't change the fact that we're going to experience seasons of darkness, but what we can change are the decisions that we make while we go through those seasons of darkness. Some people, when they're faced with darkness, they shut down emotionally. As a pastor, I've seen this time and time again throughout my years in ministry. I can almost see when certain people walk into the doors that they've got something that is bothering them, that's plaguing them because of the expressions on their face, what they say, what they don't say. Some people shut down. Some people break down when they face seasons of darkness. They just lose it. At the sight of a friend, the sight of a loved one, they just break down and start crying. And emotionally, they can't focus. They can't concentrate. I'm telling you that when we face these seasons of darkness, they affect us differently. But eventually, no matter whether you're the person that holds it in or whether you're the person that lets it all out, eventually, we all get to the place where we have to seek help and we have to seek solace. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Where we decide to seek that help reveals to us where our true faith lies. Where it is that you seek help, where it is that you turn to in times of darkness, is a revelation of where your true faith lies. And sadly, so many times, we always turn to other things instead of turning to the Lord. But for the child of God, our decision in times of darkness should always be to do what David did. And what did David do? He called on the Lord. We see that in verse 7. He says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord." And so when you have a season of darkness, the decision that you need to make is to seek the Lord. And we see three very quick things here about David's decision. Notice, first of all, when he called on the Lord. Notice what the Bible tells us very plainly about when David called on the Lord. In verse 7, he says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord." Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you this morning. It's easy to stand up here. It'd be easy to sit in a Sunday school classroom and tell you that when you're going through something that is absolutely ripping your heart from your chest, that you need to call on the Lord. But may I say to you as a testimony from my own life, when I've gone through seasons of darkness, sometimes that's the absolute last thing I want to do. Sometimes it's the hardest thing for me to do. Our human nature is to be self-preserving and to be self-serving. We want to work it out ourselves. We want to grab hold of it ourselves. We want to try to think through it. We want to try to mathematically work it out. But may I say to you that that's a mistake, whether I do it or whether you do it. As a child of God, when we find ourselves in these seasons of darkness or a time of darkness, we need to call out to the Lord, but we don't need to wait till we've tried everything else to call into Him. No, we need to do what David did, and in the midst of our distress, we need to call out to the Lord. May I say to you that it should be our first option, not our last resort. We learn from David when he called out. He called out in the midst of Saul chasing him, in the midst of his sorrow for the loss of his children and the struggle that he had with his children. In the midst of the storm, he cried out to God for help. We not only see when he called, notice secondly the way he called. the way he called. Again, I draw your attention to verse number 7. David says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Now there's three different words that we find in this verse that describe the way David cried out unto the Lord, and I want you to make note of them. First of all, we see in the beginning of the verse, he says, in my distress I called. Would you underline that word called, please? He says, in my distress I called upon the Lord. Then he says, and cried to my God. Would you underline the word cried? The word called and cried are the same exact Hebrew word. It's the same thing. It's two different words translated, but it's actually the same word that it's translated from in Hebrew, and it's the Hebrew word kara. It literally means to summon or to utter a loud sound. So what he's saying is, in the midst of his distress, David bowed his head and he cried out or called out to God with a loud voice. He cried to get God's attention. He spoke to him and he cried out, oh God, I need your help. Oh God, I'm in this distress. I'm in this darkness. But when we move to the end of verse number 7, it says, and my cry did enter into his ears. Would you underline that word cry there? The word cry that he uses at the end of verse 7 is a different Hebrew word than the words that I called and cried used earlier in verse number 7. The word cry at the end of the verse is the Hebrew word shava, and it literally means to cry for help or literally be crying. So you say, Pastor, what in the world are you trying to tell us? What I'm trying to tell you is this, that we not only need to call on the Lord when we're in times of darkness, but we also don't need to be ashamed of the way that we cry unto the Lord. What we see from Scripture, on the authority of Scripture, is that when David cried out to the Lord, he cried out to the Lord with a loud voice, and he cried literally before God with raw emotion and raw passion. May I say to you that when we're going through dark times, the greatest counsel that I could give you is to go find a prayer closet somewhere. A prayer closet may be the cab of your truck. A prayer closet may be the confines of your car. It may be out in the middle of the woods somewhere. It may be out in a wood shop. It may be in a literal closet in your home. But you get somewhere and you get alone and you literally lift up your voice and you cry out unto God with raw emotion. And you tell God exactly what it is that you feel. You tell God exactly the fears that you have in your life. Say, God, I don't know how this is going to work out. God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm angry that you haven't already delivered me from this situation. God, I don't understand why you let this come to me and you don't let it come to somebody else. You spiritually need to get that out of your system. Because until you get it out of your system, God can't fill your system back up with joy and peace and hope. And so many times, spiritually, we regress all those feelings. We drive them down deep and we put on some fake smile to try to let everybody think we're okay. But look, you may try to fool me and I may try to fool you, but we'll not fool the Lord. Because He knows what you feel. He knows what's in your heart. You cannot and I cannot hide it from Him. And the Bible teaches us in James chapter 5, verse 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When you go through times of darkness in your life, we not only need to call on the Lord in distress, but we need to follow David's pattern of calling into Him passionately, with raw emotion, fervently laying our heart before the Lord and telling Him our desires of our heart. We learn that when He called, we learn the way He called, but notice, thirdly, the wonder of His call. Notice the wonder of His call. Again, I draw your attention back to verse number 7. David says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple. Now watch this last expression in verse 7. And my cry did enter into His ears. Now look, those of us who have been in church for a long time, if we're not careful, we read over things like that. Oh yeah, well, we prayed and it entered into His ears. But have you stopped to consider what that says? Here you are, Here David is. David's in the cave of Adullam. David's hiding out amongst his enemies. David's running, fleeing from Saul. David's in his palace in the confines, praying and weeping over his sin. He's praying and weeping over the loss of his child. Here he is in a darkness that where it's floods and waves surrounding him. And he's crying out to God. But in the midst of crying out to God, in the midst of feeling forsaken, in the midst of feeling lonely, in the midst of feeling frustrated, in the midst of feeling anger, he has the comfort of knowing that when he prays, his God is listening. He doesn't have to go to a proxy. He doesn't have to go to his high priest. He doesn't have to go to anywhere else. But right where he is, no matter where he is, he can call unto the Lord, and he knows that his cries go directly into the ears of his heavenly Father. That ought to make a Baptist say amen. That's good news, folks. Hey, there are times your spouse won't understand. There's times your mom and daddy might not understand. There's times your children won't understand. There's times your therapist might not understand. But I promise you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he always understands, because he knows your need before you can even ask him. And he's putting us many times in situations because we fail to call on him. And sometimes he puts us in a situation and he allows the pressure of that darkness to gently press on us, to drive us to our knees, so that we'll again seek him and that he can show us his great love to us. Our decision in times of darkness is vital. We've got to call on the Lord. And we need to follow David's pattern of when to call the way he called, and be comforted in the wonder of his call, that when we pray, just like David, our prayers go directly into the ears of the Lord. But notice the third and final thing this morning. The third and final thing I want you to see is our deliverance from darkness. Our deliverance from darkness. Darkness brings distress. Our decision should always be to call on the Lord in darkness. But the final thing we see is our deliverance from darkness. Verse 29, David testifies. He's looking back now, but he's also testifying of what God will do in the future. Verse 29, he says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." He say, I know God has lightened my darkness, and I know the Lord will lighten my darkness. He says, I know God will. You say, but Pastor, how will he deliver us? How will he lighten my darkness? Well, let's look a little further and deeper into 2 Samuel 22 to discover that. Notice, first of all, the response to his request. The response to his request. You say, David testifies that God's going to deliver us from darkness, but how is he going to do it? Well, David offered up his request unto the Lord. He called unto the Lord in his distress. He with raw emotion cried and pleaded to him, and he testified that he knew his prayers went to the ears of God. But how is God going to respond to this request? Well, if you and I are just reading this, we read in verse 7 about his call, and at the end of the verse he says, my cry did enter into his ears. Then we move on to verse 8. It says, then the earth shook and trembled, the fountains of heaven moved and shook, because he was wroth. Verse 9, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and the fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Well, we read that and we think, man, David was quite the little prayer. Because David prayed and immediately the mountains began to shook, and God, it's a picture of God moving. But when we go back and we study, remember verse 1 tells us that this song is about his deliverance from Saul and all of his enemies. What we learn from history is that it may read here in 2 Samuel chapter 22 like it happened just like that, but the reality is that's not the way it happened. God's deliverance in David's life wasn't immediate. His response wasn't immediate in his life, and his response won't be immediate in mine and your life. I wish I could tell you today that you could have a problem and you could pray and immediately God would move in, answer it, wipe it away, and we could move on about our journey. But sadly, that's not the way it happens. Sadly, it never, almost never happens that way. But just because God doesn't do it immediately doesn't mean that he won't do it. And there are some things that David does describe in this chapter that will encourage us while we're waiting on his response to deliver us. I want to point them out to you very quickly. Notice in verse number 10, David says that this is after he's prayed. He says in verse 10, he bowed the heavens also and came down. And watch this next expression. And darkness was under his feet. Darkness was under his feet. Now, David has described the problems that he's facing as darkness. The obstacles he's encountering, he's linked them to darkness. But what does he tell us in verse 10 about that darkness and God's relation to that darkness? He says that the thing that is overwhelming us is under the feet of our God. Meaning that the thing that seems like we have no power, we're just going to be smothered by it. We're going to be crushed by the waves of it. We're going to be drowned by the floods of it. David says, but wait a minute, that thing that is killing us is under the feet of God Almighty, and God is in control of it, and God is more powerful than that thing. Then we look in verse 12. He says, and he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. So first David tells us that darkness is under God's feet, that God's in control of it. But now he goes in and he says that the Lord has made darkness pavilions round about him. Let me put that in a more common vernacular for you. God's in the darkness. God uses the darkness to cover his presence. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? What that means is this. That thing that is overwhelming you, that thing that seems like it's a wave crashing into your soul, that thing that feels like a flood rising up around you, and you look at it and you think, God, how could you let this happen? God, why wouldn't you do that? What God is saying is he says, I'm in the work in the midst of the darkness. You may not be able to see me, but I'm using this obstacle to mold you and to shape you. Because I have made darkness my pavilions. I have used darkness to cloud me. And you may not be able to see and understand why this is going on, but I promise you, I'm using this to mold you. We think about David's life and how that God used Saul's chasing him and seeking after his life. And David, you'd look and say, how could God accomplish anything with David, his next anointed king, hiding in caves and running around like a vagabond with no home? But you see, what God was doing through that is God was teaching David to rely on him. God was strengthening David's faith in him because he knew that later on David would have to face things as king that he would that would require him to trust in God. And God in his omniscience allowed David to go through what was obstacles and darkness so that he could work on David's life. May I say the thing that you and I despise often, the thing and the circumstances that we hate and loathe are oftentimes tools in the hand of God, and he's shaping us and he's shaping our faith. Notice another thing. In verse 5, David describes, he says, when the waves of death compassed me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. He describes his situation as being waves and floods. We've pointed that out. But what I want to point out to you is what it says in verse 18. David says in verse 18, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. But go back to verse 17. Verse 17 is really the verse I was wanting to point out to you. Verse 5, he says that it's like waves and floods, but verse 17 says this, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of what? Many waters. Now look, get this. Don't overlook this. David prayed and said, God, I feel like I'm in waves crashing on me. I feel like there's floods rising up around me. But when he testifies of God's deliverance, he says, he took me from the many waters. You know what that's telling us? That's telling me that when God delivers, he comes exactly where we are. And he takes us from that situation and he delivers us completely. Those waves that feel like they're crushing us, you say, how am I ever going to get out from under them? How am I ever going to get away from these waves? How am I ever going to swim and survive these floods? God's going to have to come to where you are, and he'll come right where you are, and he'll deliver you in the midst of all of that that is overwhelming you. God knows where you are, folks. And he'll come and deliver you, and he'll bring light to your darkness. The response to his request, notice the final thing this morning. I want you to notice the reason for his rescue. The reason for his rescue. God's going to deliver us from darkness. We've seen that it may take a while, but God's actually at work in the darkness. But notice the reason for his rescue. Why does God lighten David's darkness? Why does he lighten my darkness? Why does he promise to deliver us? Notice what the Bible says in verse 20. David testifies, he says, he brought me forth also into a large place. Don't miss this. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Think about that. You say, why does God deliver me? He's not obligated to deliver me. Many of the darknesses David experienced were of his own making. God didn't put him in that situation. God didn't cause David to have the affair with Bathsheba. But God delivered him from it. Why does he do it? It's because he delights in us. The word delight that's used there means to be pleased with or to desire. God delivers us because he loves us. He delivers us because he delights in us, especially when we live for him. Verse 21, he goes on and he says, at the end of verse 20, he says, because he delighted in me. Verse 21 says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Verse 25, therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. God delights when we obey him. God delights when we live for him. And he delivers us because he loves us, because we're living for him and we're trying to serve him. Beloved, that is good news. We have a God who will deliver us because he loves us. You remember the soccer team that was in darkness? I showed you the picture of them in darkness. They were all grungy and dirty. You couldn't hardly see them. Here's a picture of them after they were in darkness. They're clean. The sun's shining on them. They're smiling. You know what God did? He brought light to their darkness. And maybe this morning you're just like these 12 soccer players and their coach. Maybe you feel like you're huddled up in a cave and there's a flood that's keeping you from getting to the entrance. And you think, God, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of this. God, I don't know how I'm going to survive this. God, this is crushing me. May I encourage you to make the same decisions David made. You keep serving him. You keep calling unto him. And I promise you, on the authority of God's word, he'll come to where you are and he'll lighten your darkness. Let's pray together.